Tonight's scripture reading is Psalm 134. It's a song of ascent. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. He who is the maker of heaven and earth. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As summer draws to a close and school and all sorts of September activities start again, we come to the very end of our Songs of Ascent. And I'm thankful for the reminder that these psalms have given us of some basic truths that we need to remember about where to look for our help and how to lift up our eyes and the unity of God's people. And today we come to this very short Psalm 3 verses that tell us to praise the Lord, that remind us of what an important, amazing thing it is to worship God, to sing his praises, to tell his praises, to bless his name. Worship is one of my favorite things to preach about because I believe that as we worship, we find life. I believe as we worship, we touch the heart of God. We see the face of God. It's what we are created to do. As a matter of fact, one of the great catechisms of the church tells us that the chief end of man is this, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's what we're created to do, to bring glory to God and to enjoy his friendship and his presence in our lives. And so this last song of ascent that the pilgrims sang as they were going to Jerusalem, reminding us to praise the Lord, to bless his name, all his servants who serve him in a sanctuary. I love, too, the reminder that worship is allowed to be a vital, exciting thing. It doesn't have to be dull drudgery. We're told to lift our hands to praise his name. And it just reminds me of the vast number of postures that people worshiped with, that people prayed with throughout the scripture. And sometimes for us frozen chosen Presbyterians, any physical display of our worship is a little uncomfortable. And certainly God calls us to worship him in the way that's faithful to who we are. So I'm not expecting you to dance in the aisles if that's far from what God's calling you to do. However, if God does call you to dance in the aisles, go for it. I would love it. But throughout the scripture, we see these different postures of people lifting their hands to God, lifting their hands in praise, lifting their hands in supplication, lifting their hands almost as a child lifts their hands to a parent. Pick me up, Abba. Hold me. Love me. In the scriptures, we see people worshiped God through dance. And we remember David, the man after God's own heart, walking before the Ark of the Covenant as they were moving it back to Jerusalem, and just probably like a loincloth, almost naked, dancing before the Lord. We can use all kinds of instruments. We can bow down. We can use music. We can use no music. We can worship God only with our words and with our thoughts. But worship is an interactive activity, if you will. Sometimes we think of worship as like a spectator sport. You know, we sit in the pews and cheer on the home team. But really, the idea of worship is that we are all the participants. We are all the actors, if you want to think of it in the sense of drama. And I don't mean acting in the fact of being phony, but we are the actors for an audience of one. Worship isn't something just a few people do, the pastor, the worship team, the band. It's something that God's people are called to do, because this band is up here making this beautiful music, not so you'll say, wow, what beautiful music the band made. But they're up there playing this beautiful music to call your soul to lift yourself up to God's very throne of grace. It's an interactive activity. We are all called to be participants, not just spectators. We worship God because he is worthy to be praised. And that's enough reason right there. Because God is who he is. The God who always was, the God who is, the God who is to come. Just because God exists, he's worthy of our worship and our praise. On top of that, not only is God worthy of our worship just because he exists, just because I am, because he is the ever-living God, but he is also worthy of our worship and our praise because of what he's done and what he continues to do for us. How he reached down into the muck and mire of our lives through Jesus Christ and pulled us up and cleaned us up in the blood of Jesus and wrapped us up in the robe of righteousness. Because he says to us, I no longer call you my servants, but I call you my friends. Because he invites us to call him Abba, Papa. This intimate father-child relationship, John tells us, behold what kind of love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that's exactly who we are. Because God Almighty, who sees everything, who knows every heart, knows the depth of our brokenness, knows the dark parts of us that we hope no one else sees, knows them and sees us and loves us the same. And not only loves us, but invites us into his transforming presence, where he can transform us from glory to glory to glory until we look like him. Again, reason enough to worship God. And that's where worship comes from. Worship comes from a thankful heart. Worship is a response, where we respond to who God is and what he's done in our lives. And if you're in one of those periods of your life where it's dull and drab and you're not really sure that worship is very meaningful to you, I invite you to ask God to open your eyes, to give you a fresh glimpse of who he is, to give you a fresh glimpse of what he's done in your life, taking you back to the cross, but then also all the little moments that he has come bursting in your day to remind you that you are well, well loved. That God would give us grateful hearts that would long to respond to him in worship. And we respond to him individually in worship, and that is hugely important. That we don't leave worship for one day or 2 days a week, but worship is something we do. We step into God's presence in a special way with our thanks, with our praise, with our songs, with whatever it is that we worship God with. It is vital that we do that one-on-one with God. But then we have this marvelous time when we get to come together in God's presence. God is with us all the time through his Holy Spirit, and yet Jesus tells us when we gather together in his name, even if it's just two or three of us, he's there in a special way, interactive. He takes this room and he turns it into holy ground. The sanctuary isn't a holy place because it's beautiful and has lots of wood and stained glass. It's a holy place because when God's people gather here, God fills this place with his glory. And I believe we continually need God to enlarge our concept of what worship is. Because it is so easy for us to fall into a rut. It is so easy for us to go through the motions, to sing a couple songs, to pray a couple prayers, to listen to some scripture. We can do that sometimes and not even be aware of the fact that we stand in the presence of God. And so we desperately need God to pour out his Spirit, to open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, that we would realize this magnificent thing that we are called to do, to worship him. One of the things I love about God is his kindness. You know, I look at creation, and God could have made things practical, which he did, but God made things beautiful so that his very creation would testify to his beauty. And God could just tell us to worship him because he's worthy of worship, and that's it, end of the game. And we worship him, and that would be enough. But God in his kindness does something else, that when we gather to worship him, he gives us a gift. He gives us a chance as his people to stand in his very presence. And that may be something that you lose track of week after week after week after coming in and checking off your "I went to church" on your "I'm a good Christian" card. Sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. That God invites us to worship him because he's worthy of praise. But because we do that, we get to stand in the very presence of God. We're not just singing a couple words. We are singing truth about who God is. We are singing praises to him. We're not just praying some prayers, some kind of futile words of desperation. We are speaking right into the very heart of God. And you know, sometimes we think of worship as something that's sweet and beautiful and peaceful. And it is, because sometimes worship is so soothing. Sometimes the Spirit of God is so breathtakingly beautiful. Sometimes as we come into worship, we hear Jesus say, "Come on, you who are tired and weary and beat up and exhausted from striving in a broken world, come on in and I'll give you rest and I'll give you peace." And that's one of the aspects of worship that we crave, to step out of chaos, to step out of the noise of the world and into the blissful peace and gentleness and calm of God's presence. But lest we ever think that we can put God in a box, we can't, because he will come bursting out. Because the reality of it is, when we gather here together for worship, we stand in the presence of God Almighty, who sometimes is a gentle lamb, but sometimes is a roaring lion, powerful beyond our wildest imaginings. Holy, holy, holy angels, beings who would take our breath away because they are so fearsomely beautiful. Do you know what they do in the presence of God? They veil their faces because he is that magnificent. They can't even look upon him. And somehow we broken mortal human beings, when we walk through the blood of Jesus Christ, the veil of the Holy Holies is ripped open and we stand in the presence of a holy God. And so while sometimes it's restful and peaceful, sometimes it is anything but. Sometimes we come into the presence of God carrying our brokenness, carrying our bad attitude, and we feel conviction. And we need to dump that stuff. We need to confess our brokenness, our need for God, our selfishness, our self-centeredness. You know, it's the experience Isaiah had when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the very train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah fell on his face and said, "Woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." And so as we come to God's presence, sometimes we have the welcome peace of his presence. Sometimes we have the convicting power of his Spirit, where he urges us to dump the sin that we're holding on to, that messes us up, that gets in the way of God loving us the way he wants to, that gets in the way of his having his way in our life. And so as we worship God, we confess. Sometimes we're brought to tears as we are overwhelmed by a glimpse of our own sin, and at the very same time, a taste of the goodness of God's grace. How can it be that God Almighty would make a way for us to come into his presence. That we, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and not only forgives our sin, but cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He makes us new creatures as we stand in his presence. And it's one of the awesome things about worship. To be soothed, to be convicted, to confess, to be free. And then to be reminded of who God is. To be reminded of his power. To be reminded of the fact that even if the whole world is falling apart, he remains God. That he's never surprised. That he never doesn't have a good plan. That he always wins. And if we allow ourselves to be in God's presence, if we allow him to speak his truth to us, we can experience all those things as we worship him. Worship doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be an obligation. It's one of the greatest privileges we have as God's people, to stand in his presence, to join our voices with angels and archangels and saints from every tribe and race who have gone on before us, to do something that is eternal, to worship God. Worship is, besides all those beautiful things, and like I said, if we worshiped God just because he is and because of what he does, that would be more than enough. But God in his kindness uses worship as a blessing to us. And that's what this psalm reminds us. As we bless the Lord, he blesses us from Zion, from his holy hill, from his temple. He blesses us in all the ways we've just talked about and even more. But I'm reminded of one more way that I see worship used in the scriptures that makes me stop and take another look. When Jehoshaphat was king and there were armies coming against the Israelite people and they didn't know what to do. They were people that God had told them not to touch when they came into the promised land, and all of a sudden these people are coming to attack them. And Jehoshaphat gathers the people together to pray and to fast, and he prays this amazing prayer that we've talked about before when he says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's when a man from the crowd speaks up and tells Jehoshaphat the people to take heart, because the battle is the Lord's and that the Lord will deliver their enemies into their hands. And you know what Jehoshaphat does at that point? He gets the worshipers, the musicians, and the singers the next day to lead the way out into battle, worshiping before the army of the Lord as God delivered their enemies into their hands. And we forget sometimes that worship sometimes is our first line of defense, our first line of offense, if you will, in this battle we live in this world. We worship God because he's worthy to be praised. And when we remind ourselves of that, we remind the enemy of that as well. That there is one God, one king, one conqueror, one Lord, who defeats the power of the enemy, the power of darkness, the power of death, and the power of hell. And when we sing his praises, when we worship him, we put ourselves in a beautiful place to be reminded of who God is and the beauty of the Lord and the way he inhabits the praises of his people and the way he stands in our presence as we worship him pushes back the gates of hell, pushes back the power of darkness that would love to defeat us, that would love to put our eyes on our own problems and our own struggles and our own shortcomings and everything that's wrong, instead of the rightness of who God is and his power and majesty. And so we worship God because he's worthy of praise, because of who he is and because of what he does. And God pours onto us all these other blessings. Sometimes I don't understand why people don't come running in to worship God. Sometimes I don't understand why we don't have the doors knocked down because people can't wait to get inside to be in God's presence. But until they do, we worship God. We invite him into our gathering to be high and lifted up and to be exalted. And as we lift him up, he draws each one of us to himself. There's nothing better that we could be doing with our lives than what we do here tonight. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we do praise you because you are awesome. We do praise you because you are holy and righteous and just. We do praise you because you are kind and gracious and loving. We praise you because you are powerful and because you reign and are sovereign. Lord, we are delighted to be your people. Lord, we would love for you to remind us as we gather together, not just tonight, but every time we gather together, to remind us of what an awesome thing it is to be invited to worship you. And God, as we bless you, we're so thankful that you pour your blessing out on us. So God, where we're tired and weary and struggling, where we feel like we're going through the motions, where we're bored, we're disgruntled, God, we just pray that you would pour out your spirit afresh on us, that you would open our eyes, that you would remind us of who you are. Lord, we gather together and you come bursting in glory. Open our eyes of our heart, God, that we would see you and that we would worship you all the more. In Jesus' name, amen.